Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lions. You've served God very long. You've found Him trustworthy. We can lean on Him. Praise His name. I'm just going to throw this one at you. I don't know where to fit it in, so I'll just throw at you now. One fella said, it's easier to muster courage through a charge than a retreat. Take that from the whatever's worth department. Felt like I ought to say it, so might be encouragement to someone. Amen. Amen. There are a couple of Dad's books left out there. Of course, today's the day if anybody's still thinking about that. Amen. I want to ask Brother Horner to come and help us. We're going to read the lesson responsively today. That means I read a verse, you read a verse. In a building this size and scattered, we could really get to going different ways. So Brother Horner is your leader. You may want to read faster or slower, but you just read with him. I invite you to stand and turn to Acts 26. Paul before King Agrippa, and he is giving his testimony. I want to talk about your testimony today. We'll begin reading at verse 12. I'll read the first verse and then you the next. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest,
at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me.
And when we were all fallen to the ground, to the earth, more than just, you note there's more than just Paul. They all were fallen to the ground. I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks.
And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest.
But rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee.
Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee.
To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me.
Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. Well, Paul was before the king, accused, giving his account of, he was standing account of the charges to him, but in the midst of that, he got to testifying. You know, it wasn't the charges that impressed this king, but it was his testimony until the king said, almost, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. It was his testimony. I want to ask you today, how's your testimony? How's your testimony? 3 points. I want to run pretty fast through the first two and then look at the third one. Get your testimony, give your testimony, and guard your testimony. Get your testimony. Get a definite experience of grace. Now, I don't know about anyone else, but that little fellow last night encouraged me greatly. I was ready to go to the altar myself, but he came. Amen. God bless that little fellow today. You say, does he really know? Can a boy 10 years old know? 10? I've known people that were 3 that got saved and never backslid. I know another lady that was 4, and Brother Yoakum too was 4 when he said he got saved. The earliest that I've known to say that they were sanctified was 5. Brother George Klaus was saved at the age of 7. And called to preach and started preaching at the age of 7. Now I want to tell you something. I feel encouraged when God begins to move on the hearts of the children. Anyone. But I want you to know, I don't consider that a lesser moving of the Holy Spirit. Oh no. God forgive. What was that expression you used yesterday about that, brother? Lest, forbid, what was it?
Perish the thought.
Perish the thought. Perish the thought. God might be doing anything less in their hearts. If God's not moving on the hearts of the children, we're in trouble. That means their hearts are not being responsive to the Lord when they're most tender. It's going to be easier for them to go the wrong way when they're teenagers. God bless the children. God bless the children. Well, get a definite testimony. Get it in the clear. Amen. You say, well, do I have to make apology? Well, the Lord tells you. Might even have to make a restitution. Get in the clear. Get her straightened out. Get it definite. Get it to where you can believe in your own testimony. As Paul said, the testimony of my conscience. That means when I testify my mouth, my inside, my conscience says, praise the Lord. That's right. You can believe in your own testimony. You can get blessed by your own testimony. Thank God. Know that you're saved. Don't guess that you're saved. Hope that you're saved. Amen. Know when you're saved. Know that you're sanctified. Appreciated Brother Horner's testimony. Amen. We can know. And that's what God wants us to know. Amen. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. The body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We're to know it. Praise the Lord. That's how we keep present victory. You know, verse I mentioned the other day there in Revelation 6:9 about the souls under the altar. They were slain. And for the testimony which they held. They had a testimony worth holding to. They had a testimony that meant more than even their life. They could have saved their skin but lost their testimony. And their testimony was worth more than their life. Is your testimony this afternoon worth more than your life? Amen. Get your testimony. Give your testimony. Well, when? Well, pretty often. When you feel like it and when you don't. Amen. Give it and give it definitely. Don't make people wonder what you said when you sat down. Say it clearly that they get the point. Amen. Make it definite enough that 3 worlds know exactly what you testified about. Praise the Lord. Give your testimony. Old Brother Reisner, that's Sister Noel Scott's father-in-law. He used to say, he said, your testimony, he said, you keep it by giving it and lose it by keeping it. It always, if your testimony's not going to help anyone else, it ought to help you. Praise the Lord. And you can walk and satisfied, I minded God, and it'll strengthen your heart to testify definitely. Praise the Lord. David got strength from his testimony. Encouraged himself in the Lord when all they's wanting to stone, even his friends wanting to stone him and blame him, and there was nobody walked up to him and said, David, you know, I'm your last friend, but God bless you. Apparently he was standing alone, but he had something, a testimony down within that he could draw from in that hour, and encouraged himself in the Lord. If he hadn't have been holding on to his testimony, he'd have been in trouble right then, brother. Amen. Thank God for the testimony. You say, well, I don't have dying grace. If you got living grace today, he'll give you dying grace when you need it. Yes, sir. Amen. Worry about if you've got the grace of God, sufficient victory today, that's the part you need. He'll work out there. If you just keep victory in your heart, he'll work out the way before you. Praise God. Third point I want to mention, you didn't know I could move through points so fast, did you? Guard your testimony. You know you're the only one that can guard it. You know the devil's not going to. And the Lord's going to encourage you. But you're the one that has to guard it. It's up to you to keep the victory. It's up to you to guard your testimony. Amen. I can remember September the 1st, 1967, Friday night at Mount Zion Camp. I remember when the Lord saved me. 19 days later in the school revival, He sanctified me. I've had the privilege to reap the life of living for Jesus. Buddy, I have, talking about, you know, out in sin and some things. I said, I don't know anything about it. He said, you haven't missed nothing. Praise God. But, you know, I remember the night I got sanctified. The Lord showed me two things I had to do. Now, I couldn't shout or hoop or cry or anything else to get around those. I had to settle those two matters. The one was an individual there I'd had a very bad attitude towards. The Lord told me to apologize to him. Well, I didn't want to apologize. But after a while, I wanted to. And the next one was a commitment to the Lord. God knew what he was doing on both of them, I can tell you right now. When his thumb's in your back, obedience is the only way to get victory. And the only way to get that thumb out of your back is to obey God and settle it. Amen. Is that the last time God has spoken to me about something? No. But somewhere my will that operated on that night satisfied God, put me over on us, gave me a will that was submissive to His will, and later on when He spoke to me about other things, it wasn't a crisis, it was just, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. He spoke to me about various things as a teenager. Yes, Lord. You say, Well, some of them I ask him about. Some of them I never ask, but he just told me. We can, yes, and get our feet down and settled. We can get things settled and put on the altar as teenagers. Out when I was away, thousands of miles away in a truck, they're still on the altar. When we were 10,000 miles away, they were still on the altar. Amen. Lady over gave me back too much money. And I handed it back to her. I said, no, I said, you gave me too much. And she looked so strange at me. And I said, no, I said, where I'm a-going, I wouldn't jeopardize where I'm going for just a little amount like that. A few dollars. Opportunity to testify. Helped a person with a restitution. And the individual said, I said, does that satisfy you? He said, I felt better before you ever said anything. Well, now he got that, that restitution was coming his way, and that was good. Why did he say, I felt better before you gave that? Because he had things that was unfinished in his life that was all disturbed. Oh, glory to God. Walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. I want to tell you something, my friend. You walk in the light. Holiness is the natural walking of the... You get saved good. You just naturally walk in the light. Holiness is part of it. And you'll just keep walking in the light. Keep victoring. Keep walking with Him. Amen. Appreciated the ministry of our brethren. The Bible studies on what it means to be holy. Paul said, till we come to the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. Wow. I think we all appreciate time and opportunity to grow there, don't you? Amen. Another thing I realize as I walk down this pilgrim road, there is a growing carefulness, not carelessness, about my testimony and ministry. Amen. We have to guard our testimony. We don't want to put our testimony in questionable places. We don't want to put our testimony in a place where the devil can take advantage of us. Amen. He'll try to steal your testimony, in case you don't know. He'll try to discourage you. He'll try to edge you out. He can try all kind of things. But if he'll try to get you even to throw away a perfectly good experience of grace. Just throw it away. Hands up. Give up. You didn't send it away. Just threw it away. Hold on. Hath great recompense of reward. Praise his holy name. You know, Job guarded his testimony. He had to guard it against friends. Sometimes you'll have to guard your testimony against friends. By the things they say, the activities they invite you to share with them, you have to leave that between them and God. But you know you can't be blessed and partake, so don't do it. Say it in a kind way. Don't dis-Christianize them, but keep your testimony clear. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. We live in a day that there's all kinds of things that can pull us. Keep your testimony clear. Circumstances, tragedies. Job had it all discouraged. You talk about discouragement. Everything else was gone, and then his wife to say, just curse God and die. Whew. And his friends had a lot of things to say to him, and he had a lot of things he had no answers for. But I want to read in Job 27, 5 and 6. Remember, we're talking about Job holding on to his testimony. God forbid that I should justify you. Might be the easier thing to do, but then he's the loser. God forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me. My righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. He'd been guarding his testimony and he is holding on to it when the pressure's on. Thank God. Not everybody's going to bless you. Thank God for those who do. But some won't. But we hold on to it. Amen. I have a good friend here. Brother Ron Arnold. In fact, through our mothers, we're related. Through the Poe blood. And Ron's been a friend down through the years. There was a time he was trying to help me out, and I appreciated it. I appreciate it to this day. But, you know, sometimes unfortunate things happen, and with someone else I was riding with and had an accident and incurred multiple injuries. And the guy said, I've got $100,000 worth of insurance, take care of you. I said, I know so much about it. I said, I won't need all that. Little did I know. We went sailing past $100,000 so fast we couldn't even see where it went. I remember it was paying the bills off, you know, and this lady was so, his insurance lady was company was so helpful, and I'd just ask for her. People say she's busy, and I'd say either I'll wait or call back because this lady was so helpful. Finally, one day she said, I can't help you no more. I said, you what? I said, did I do something wrong? No. She said, I can't help you no more. She said, when it goes over $100,000, she said, it goes into different laws, and then it goes through lawyers. She said, you got to sue your friend. Well, I said, I'm not going to sue him. No, she said, you don't sue him. You sue his company. Well, I said, I don't want to do that. Well, she said, you're in a place where you've not been before. She said, now, I'm not supposed to tell you this, but what you've got to do is get you a lawyer to represent yourself. Wow. So, we had a friend of the family whose son was a lawyer and talked to him, and he said, well, yeah, he said, we'll help you. He said, I can't for conflict of interest, but he said, I have a co-worker that can. So, we started into this matter, you know, and asking me various things about it, and he does all his investigation things and whatever. Finally, we go in one day, and he says, now, I've been out to Arizona, and he said, I've interviewed all these different ones and whatever. He said, you're the only one that is maintaining what you say. He said, I want you to rethink what you're saying, And it'll be $750,000 we can sue the trucking company for. Well, the first part of that never stayed with me. I had been wondering, what am I going to do with all these liens and bills? Is God trying to make a way for me? And then it hit me what he said. Lawyers have neat ways of saying things. Rethink. In just everyday language, he's asking me to lie. Just change it a little. Say, you're not sure, but you think this is what you saw. You know what? I couldn't stand here before you today. Well, I'd have been out of the ministry a long time ago. Why, you could have got $750,000. What's that? I have a boy I'm pulling on the horns of the altar for. How can I pull on the horns of the altar if I've lied to get personal gain? Rethink. And it became very clear. It was a choice between money or my testimony. Vicki was there. And I said, you know, even if this goes to court, I'm going to maintain what I saw and what I've said. He got mad. He was so interested in me, he got mad. I think he lost his part. Huh? Well, by the time he was done, I wasn't sure if he was going to keep our case. And so here Vicki rolls me in the wheelchair, and I'm not feeling, I want to tell you something, I wasn't feeling real blessed right then. We got out, went down the elevator, rolled out in the sunshine, and it hit me. I've still got the testimony. Glory to God. Now, just so you know, God's worked it all out, and I don't owe anybody. But I want to tell you, amen, and the trucking, I could walk into that trucking company and testify to the owner of that company. I have a clear enough conscience. I could testify to the owner of that business. Amen. Oh, my friends, what are we talking about? Guarding our testimony. I speak this for credit, for blessing. I don't take advantage of anyone. Last funeral I was at, there's some here that was there. It was Brother Scott's boy. Brother Scott's had a great influence on our life. Coming up through high school and has just been a holy and humble influence throughout our life. We appreciate, he's one of our heroes. We were pastoring in Littleton, Colorado. That's the Denver area. About noontime on a Saturday, got a knock at the door. Went to the door, opened it, and here stands Dave. Invited him in, we talked a little bit, asked me one to drink. No, he said, I just got a drink. Asked me one some lunch. He said, I just ate. Well, I said, when did you get here? Oh, he said, just now. Said, I left Kansas City this morning. Well, I said, how long are you going to be here? Oh, he said, I'm going back to Kansas City this afternoon. I thought, boy, you had something important to come out here. We talked a little bit, sat down and talked. And I said, well, can I ask why you're here? And at that time, he was a backslidden preacher's boy. I don't know what others thought when they were at the funeral. And by the way, he told his dad just shortly before he died, he said, it's all taken care of. He said, I'm ready to go. Praise God. I don't know what others were thinking, but I was thinking of this story I'm telling you right now. He said, looked at me real strong in the eyes. He said, there's been a lot of preachers getting TVs. He was in discussion. This is a backslidden preacher's boy. He was in discussion with someone. He never told me who. I didn't ask who and don't want to know who. But he was in this discussion. He said, I know one that doesn't have one. And the guy kind of jeered him. And that's what motivated this trip. 600 miles on his day off. 600 miles to Denver. There 15 minutes. And turn around and drive back another 600 miles. 1,200 miles for a 15 minute. You know what was at stake? His value system. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, I said, you can look around. You can look in my bedrooms. You can look in my closets. It doesn't matter to me where you want to look. No, he said, I'm satisfied. What if I'd have disappointed that boy that day? You know, as we maintain our and guard our testimony, it's helping others to hold on. Here was a backslidden boy, but at least he had something to hold to. Oh, I've thought different times. Perish the thought. What if he'd have walked in there after driving those miles and seen one sitting right there? Oh, we're talking about guarding our testimony. Praise the Lord. James Fonio got saved in our ministry there in Tobaville. Left his good job, and he's the guy I told you about, the little bush out where all the churches were coming out of. While he is over there, this foreign lumber company came in. And the lumber company said, we want you people to vote one person to deal with us and for the tribe, and then we'll... work through that person. Well, they voted, and James was educated and excellent English speaker and a sharp guy, and so they elected him, and the company sends him a ticket, flies him down to Port Moresby, give him the red carpet motel, and that night at supper, you know, they give him a big meal and hand him this contract, said, now you can look over this contract, and in the morning, we'll have a signing, and you'll be on your way home. So he's got the contract. He had been reading up on some of the regulations of the country, what they require of these foreign businesses coming in, as well as the logging companies, and that's all regulated. And he looked down this contract, and they were offering him 50,000 kina just cash right up front, a new house, a new vehicle, a school for his tribe, a road, no road into his area, and they were offering to make a road into where they were. Now, in case you don't know what that means, in New Guinea, that means fast track to headman or chief. Besides what benefits is coming. He started reading down through here and had a highlighter, and he'd highlight the things that, and then make a reference to the government law, the numbers of the government law. I mean, he'd done his homework. Met for breakfast the next morning. They went down to the office. The guy handed him, said, "You can sit down here at the desk and sign, and we'll make the deals. We'll transfer the funds into your account and get things of the balls rolling." He said, "Sir, I've got to tell you something. I cannot sign this contract." That man's face went red, and he said, "Why not?" He went down through there pointing out the places he had highlighted and referenced it with the government regulations and so forth. He said, "I see what you offer me in this hand, $50,000, a new truck, a new house, a school, a road into our village." But he said, "In this hand is the souls of my people." He said, "Today this looks mighty good." But he said, "I could never preach to my people again. They have eternal souls, are going to be in heaven or hell. What if my tribe is lost in hell because I took a financial advantage and did something dishonest that they'd have no confidence in me again?" He said, "This hand is heavier than this hand." Ooh, glory. You say, "Man, you missed it." Oh, no, he never missed it. He gained it. Hallelujah. What are we talking about? Guarding your testimony. There's situations, promotions. If you have to violate your conscience, it's not a God-given promotion. Some people throw things away. "Well, it's a promotion. God gave me a promotion." Well, if you've got to jeopardize your testimony, God didn't give it. Amen. Hold to your testimony. God will make a way for you. Glory be to God. Amen. Jesus said, John 14:30. Now he's coming down to the end of his earthly ministry. He's going to be strung up here in a few hours. He's going to take all that hell can give. But he said, "The prince of this world cometh, but he hath nothing in me." He hath nothing in me. He had maintained his testimony. He had kept the victory. You say, "Oh, that's Jesus." Yeah, well, he had to do the same things we do. He has to say yes. He had to say yes to the right things and no to the wrong things. He had to exercise his will as the Son of Man. He made miracles to help others. He didn't lessen his way by making miracles. He took it all as the old devil in hell brought upon him. But he never failed once. He never sinned once. There was no guile in his mouth or in his heart. Amen. And when the prince of this world came to do whatever, he said, "He hath nothing in me." Amen. That's the way we want to live. The old devil can accuse. He can do whatever, but he hath nothing in me. Glory be to God. Get your testimony. Give your testimony. Guard your testimony, shall we stand. Amen. You've been a good Saturday afternoon crowd. I've rewarded you a little bit here today. Amen. Come back to the service tonight, prayed up, pulling, trusting God for victory. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray you bless our fellow pilgrims here today. We're thankful for what you've done, but we know that the enemy is after our testimony. He wants to jeopardize it. He wants to steal it if he can. God, help us, we pray. Make us to be soldiers to endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. We pray in that we stand before you in that day of all days. May it be with joy and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.